Hello, my name is Helen Goss and I'm a partner with Boyce Turner. This is one of a series of podcasts that focuses on coaching. This episode looks at the importance of building rapport in coaching and coaching in a multi-generational workforce. I've been speaking to Diane Gerard, who is one of our Boyce Turner coaches. Diane was a senior HR person in a global tech company for many years and coached internally. She's now been coaching full-time as an independent business coach and NLP practitioner for several years now and has a particular interest in the multi-generational workforce. So can you explain to us what is so important about rapport and exactly what rapport is in that coaching relationship?
Right, Helen. Rapport is the basis of all communication. So it's the process of matching and mirroring, really. And we use it all the time, not just in coaching, but every day when we get to meet one another, when we met. It's about learning about someone and just putting them at ease, letting them know that we care about them and that we are interested in them as a person. So it's about matching and mirroring. So it allows the person to use whatever their preferred system is. So, for example, we can be talking so that we can see one another face to face, or we can do it just so that we can hear our voices. And it's things like that. That's how you build rapport with someone. And that enables you to communicate more effectively and put someone at ease.
What happens if either the coach or the client just doesn't feel that rapport?
That, again, that's a very good question, Helen. And it's one of those things, especially when you're working, well, I'd say virtually, but it's the same with face-to-face. Coaching is all about building that rapport. And we all come on a journey. And when we come to coaching, the client is coming with something and on that journey. We don't know what that journey is. And we need to create that safe environment, show that we care, and give them that opportunity to have space and time to explore what they want to do. So that's all about contracting, and that's building trust. And so we set the scene that it's a safe environment, that we're there for them. We explore what they've come for. And so those are the sorts of things we're going to do. Now, on some occasions, and it's very rare, I've found, luckily, but someone may have been told that they've got to go to coaching because there is an area that they need to improve on. Now, if they feel that's something they want to work on, then they come with on that journey in a much better way and more positive about whatever the outcome's going to be. And so I find that that's one of the areas that maybe rapport's not there, because it's more of the trust and the threat, but also there could just be a chemistry mismatch, if you like. And when I talked about building rapport and matching and mirroring, if someone's not in line with whatever the person wants to work on. So for example, on a call, if someone just wants to be talking rather than visual, that's perfectly fine. You've got to respect your client's needs and wishes. I have had an opportunity to coach someone by phone. It was a global client. She was told I was her coach, and she did some research on LinkedIn, etc., knew who I was. But when we got to our first call, it took a lot of time to get to that call. Her journey was not that one of relaxed and trust, etc. And I don't know what she had experienced before. That was something we were going to talk about. What was her previous experience of coaching? But it felt wrong. And that's another thing. It's gut feel. If it doesn't feel right, don't push that you're the only person that's going to coach. There's lots of other coaches available that someone can choose and have that opportunity to build that trust, rapport, and have that space, that coaching space that's important.
So Diane, how easy is it to build rapport whilst coaching virtually? We're doing a lot of virtual remote coaching and meetings at the moment. So I think this is a really relevant question.
I think, again, it's to start with, when you're coaching virtually or face-to-face, I think it's important really for the coach themselves to, they've come on their journey, as I've already said, and it's how they feel. To go into coaching with a client, you need to have that confidence, you need to have that care, and you've got to make sure that you're in the right place first. So that's the most important thing. Then moving on, once your client arrives, whether it's on a Zoom call or just on a Skype, like yesterday I was on a call, or on the phone, again, a lot of it is this matching and mirroring, talking to the client, putting them at ease, and making sure that they are able to say, look, I'd prefer today, because this is tough stuff I'm talking about, that I just prefer to do it, that I'm talking, but I don't see you. And then again, we contract as to whether the coach actually sees the client. And all those different things help the client to just get into their own space, because the whole point about coaching is not the answers that I've got, but giving the client the space to focus on their challenges and their objectives and explore them. I can bring tools and techniques if they want them, but it's really giving that client the space to talk things through with someone that they trust and they know that has their underlying care to support them.
You mentioned trust often. So how is trust built into that coaching relationship, and is there a link with confidentiality?
Yes, you're right. Trust for me is key. You know, my background's HR. So from my point of view, and for all accredited coaches, trust and contracting is extremely important. As soon as you've have that conversation with your client, you get into contracting. So the client knows that they are in a safe place. That, especially when we're talking virtually as we are now, that the client doesn't know what's around the person that they're talking to, especially when cameras are off, or it doesn't really matter what cameras are on or off. But it's important for the trust to start with the coach, making it very clear that this is a safe space, that there's no one overhearing, that they're not in an open space that people could walk by. Or if they are, when we coach on the move, we say, look, if someone comes close and they're going to hear this conversation, I'm going to stop. And it's things like that, just telling them what you're going to do, set the scene, explain where you are. If there's going to be distractions because someone's in the house, it's about honesty, and that's how we build trust. It doesn't matter, you know, especially in this day where when we first talked about remote working, we never dreamed that we'd be homeschooling, having everyone in the house, other people working upstairs, downstairs, children coming in some circumstances, dogs, etc. So set the scene, build the trust, be open, let them come into your life and share that bit. The other thing about building trust is we can't expect our clients to be open and honest unless we are ourselves. So we can start that by just saying, look, here I am, take me as I am. I might not have a bookcase behind me with all the books, but I have got a office where we can just use this space. And I will talk about anchoring a safe space for my client to be, and to share our vulnerability as well. If we're expecting a client to talk about maybe a challenge with someone that they're working with, maybe we just share with them that, you know, we've had that situation and we've overcome it. But again, it's about the client, it's not about us.
I wanted to explore the issue of confidentiality, as I know that that's a really important issue for clients who are in coaching, and being sure about what is going to be said to the wider business.
Yes, Helen, that's a very good point indeed. And as I mentioned, one of my clients that didn't work out, actually, I think this was probably behind the scenes, although I can't say for certain. Coaching is a relationship between the coach and the coachee. And the journey to that could be through an organisation, or it could be a coachee comes to find their own coach. When it's particularly in a corporate environment, when someone has identified that they want coaching for whatever reason, they have their own goals and objectives, and then they come and meet either an internal or an external coach for the first time. And again, it's important to build rapport. It's important to contract with that client that the conversations are totally confidential. So it's not just the other people in the house and the disruptions. It's also the fact that anything that's said during that time is totally confidential between those two persons. The only time as an accredited coach that, and again, in contracting, we say this, and I would say this, the only other time that we're likely to advise our client we cannot hold the confidentiality is if our client is at risk. So that's extremely rare situation. And again, you tell your client, but if they were at risk for some reason, because they mentioned something, that's the only time we would break the confidentiality. But if someone has been asked to come to coaching and it's part of an organization, and the manager has said to them, you're going to have coaching, we reassure that client that we will not be reporting back anything to the manager or senior exec, HR, etc., without the client being involved, the coachee. We will agree what's going back. That's how we handle it. That's the confidentiality.
Can we look at the issue of multi-generational workforces? Because I know that that's a subject you're really interested in. As employers, we want to get the best out of our employees for them, but also for us. So are you seeing an increase in coaching, not just at the top, the leaders, but at different levels?
I have seen a big change. Because my bias is that I'm looking for it. But it is an area that is growing, and especially organisations that focus on the growth mindset. And this talks all about where someone is looking positively, looking to widen out. So it's not just the top down senior execs that get coaching, and we do say executive coaching or business coaching, but this allows the opportunity for all of the generations, that's the millennials, because more and more millennials in the organization will be required to step up to more senior roles, and they need that support and coaching to enable them to succeed. And they are the largest group of employees in the workforce. That's pre-COVID and post-COVID. That really doesn't matter. There are more millennials in the workforce, and they need this opportunity in this space to explore what challenges they have ahead, how they're going to deal with it, and have that space. And so I see that more and more. And then the other area is the Generation Z. These are the new ones coming in. And they've come out of universities and different organizations where coaching is the norm for them. It's part of their programs. And they're used to this visually. So for organizations, as part of their culture and their offering, not only to offer the benefits that are tangible, like Bupa or, you know, private health, etc., and holidays, but to offer that opportunity of a coach, whether that's internal or an external. So yes, I do. There's a lot more opportunities, and that enables the company to grow and also to explore these opportunities of creativity and innovation. The young ones have got lots of ideas, and they love fun, and we can create that within coaching and with some of the tools. And on the other side, some of them have got limiting beliefs, as we call them, where they've got to present at a senior level or to a major client, and they just feel a bit wrong-footed on their journey, and they want that safe place to explore that. So there's lots of opportunities with coaching, and every opportunity to the client is unique. There isn't one size that fits all in coaching.
So you talk a lot about chemistry. So do you think that different generations of clients look for different things in coaching or their coaches?
As far as chemistry is concerned, again, there is this opportunity to identify what the client is looking for. That can be energy level, that can be how we dress, how we approach things, and it's also our mindset. So it's a much wider area, I believe. And so just adjusting some of those things and just being aware of what's on their agenda. And the easiest way of doing that is just to talk to different people of different generations and adapt to what their needs are and what their style is.
What can coaching of different levels of teams bring to the process?
I mentioned, Helen, about the opportunity for creativity and innovation as one of the areas, and also collaboration. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes within the workforce, especially when people have been around trying to resolve a particular challenge, it's always been handled in one particular way, and then something new comes in, like where we are today. And a solution needs to be sought, but then certain people will turn around and say, oh, that can't be achieved because. Whereas in a more younger member of the team may not necessarily have the confidence firsthand to go to a senior exec or other more experienced members of the team and say, I've got this idea. This gives the opportunity for younger members to explore how they could do that approach, what would work, to actually see it through with the right space and time, and give them that opportunity.
So, Diane, do you see any difference between coaching, for example, someone who is Generation X and a millennial or Generation Z?
Personally, Helen, I don't see a difference because every coaching opportunity is unique. We need to adapt our style to suit the client, and that's in as many ways as we possibly can, whilst being true to ourselves. I can't say that I'm a Generation Z or go out looking like a Generation Z. That's not what we're looking for, and that's not what they're looking for either. It's really about giving them that space, identifying what they're looking for, and giving them that opportunity to have someone to work with that cares about them. They're confident, there is rapport, and they can provide that space.
We've seen reverse mentoring when perhaps a millennial will mentor a more senior leader. But do you have any experience of reverse coaching?
Yes, Helen. Again, this is something that I was exploring as part of my research, where this is very different to our traditional coaching. This is where someone who is, it doesn't matter what generation it is, but we tend to see it with the younger generations. They have particular expertise within the company, maybe in IT skills or virtual. They may have more exposure to the virtual world through their social interests. And it's just the company working with them or the individuals working with them to identify that they have got a unique specialism and they can share that. And that's what reverse mentoring is all about. So them giving that opportunity, they're given that opportunity to share their knowledge, their excitement and their expertise with someone who's often of an older generation. And I've had an example of that with a university placement student who was in an opportunity for a year working alongside a mature team who didn't necessarily feel confident with all the technology and what was expected of them. And so it was his opportunity to build that confidence, get some awareness within the wider group of what his skill sets are and how he can contribute back to the business and be part of the overall objectives of the organisation. And he found that really rewarding and it built a huge amount of his confidence.
That was Diane Gerard, a Boyce Turner business coach. please do get in touch with us and share your thoughts and views, because we'd really like to create a community of people who are interested in coaching and how it can actually benefit their organisations. The best way to do that is via our website, boysturner.com. Look out for more podcasts from us on the subject of coaching. And in the meanwhile, thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.